Hello and welcome back to the MJA podcast. My name's Kate Swanell. Lynch syndrome is a cancer risk factor that gets very little attention, despite it being arguably more prevalent than the more familiar BRCA1 and 2 mutations. Researchers from Cancer Council New South Wales and patient advocate group Lynch Syndrome Australia are hoping to change that with some new research showing the cost-effectiveness of testing and screening strategies, with a view to making Lynch syndrome a routine part of cancer surveillance programs. My first guest today is the CEO of Lynch Syndrome Australia, Susan Morris, and later we'll be joined by lead author on the research, Professor Karen Canfield. Susan, welcome. Lynch syndrome, what is it exactly?
Well, Lynch syndrome is a mistake in a gene whose job it is to fix cancer cells when they're starting to accumulate in your body.
So right.
We all have genes in our body whose job it is to repair cells. These repairing genes there, and they basically repair any faults and flaws that are coming up in the genes. And unfortunately, for people with Lynch syndrome, we are born with a fault in one of the pair of genes whose job it is to do this.
So that must make some cancers more likely, particularly colorectal cancer, yeah.
For somebody with Lynch syndrome, we have an elevated risk of developing multiple primary cancers at a much younger age, people. Predominantly bowel cancer, which is why this is where the cancer research has been focused. But there's also for women a very high risk of endometrial cancer as well. 12 different cancers around the body that you're at risk of if you've inherited a Lynch syndrome gene mistake from a parent.
Is it something that gets routinely tested for?
And no, and I think you've really hit the nub of the issue there, which is that population prevalence of the Lynch syndrome mutation is roughly 1 in 280. People often refer to Lynch syndrome as a rare condition. It's not rare. Anything less than 1 in 1,000 is not a rare condition. And that number comes down every time. There's an epidemiologist who are looking at the prevalence in the population. And the latest one, the official is 1 in 280,
okay.
Which basically means that's about 100,000 Australians who carry a Lynch syndrome gene mutation. Bad news is only 5% of us know that we have it.
And how do you find out you have it?
At the moment, it's pretty hit and miss.
Yeah.
And this is why this research is so important. And some people find out after they've gone to a GP and had a discussion about their cancer family history. Some people find out because a family member is diagnosed with Lynch syndrome and they're told to go and take a blood test and find out if they too are at risk. Other people find out after their own cancer diagnosis and a Cleary oncologist or gastroenterologist decides to send away the sample for testing. There is no routine testing at the moment for Lynch syndrome. That's why 95% of people remain undiagnosed.
Is this something that should be done as a population screening thing, do you think?
That has definitely been looked at in other countries than Australia. And I think whilst we as a consumer organisation would love to say, yes, the most important thing in the world is testing everybody in the population for Lynch syndrome and then getting the diagnosis out to people and then getting people protected and preventing cancers from there. The reality is, it's not practical and it's not cost-effective. And the benefit of the research that the Cancer Council has now undertaken is that they have looked at very clearly the economic cost to the health system of finding people with Lynch syndrome. And it's a very effective way. One of the most common cancers with Lynch syndrome is bowel cancer.
Yes.
And secondly, if you find one member of the family, you can then test up to 6 members on average of that family, and you can potentially identify from one test initially, you can follow up with blood tests, you can actually find many more members of the family at risk. It's not only in a cost-effective way, it's actually an efficient way to start identifying those 95% people.
So once you found out you have Lynch syndrome and you haven't yet developed a cancer, what does knowing you have Lynch syndrome do to help you prevent what might come?
Listen, that's a really good question, because a lot of people would ask the question, what's the point of knowing? Why should I bother getting testing? Well, knowledge before a cancer means prevention. It means we are able to better manage the risk. Prevention basically means surveillance. which can mean blood tests or, in this case, colonoscopies and other kinds of screening, depending on the specific projections of cancer and patterns of cancer within your family. Mm. It can also mean prophylactic surgery. It can mean where there's specific risk, particularly for women, of endometrial or ovarian cancer. A large number of women in our latest research at Lynch Syndrome Australia have undertaken prophylactic surgery to massively reduce their risk. Mm. It can also mean good advice and support. And in that case, there's a great deal of benefit to knowing before you've had a cancer. It's also a great deal of benefit knowing when you have a cancer diagnosis, because it can affect what kind of treatment you're offered, the choice of chemos, whether your MSI high tumor will respond well to innovative immunotherapies, for example.
So knowing you have it once you have the cancer allows you to target the treatment much more focused.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of research which shows that certain chemotherapies, for example, are not effective on Lynch syndrome-related tumors. So that knowledge can help you both before you have a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. with a cancer diagnosis, and even after a cancer diagnosis. Knowing means that you don't get complacent, because often people who develop a random cancer will say, well, that's it, I'm now a cancer survivor, I can get on with my life. If you find out that you actually have a wider, more prevalent risk, it's a risk that you can manage. It puts you on guard for potentially the next cancer, because unfortunately, research shows that someone who's had one Lynch syndrome-related cancer is more likely to develop another Lynch syndrome-related cancer. And in fact, knowledge at any time means your whole family can be put on notice,
yes.
can be tested, and can be protected.
Are there harms to knowing that you've got Lynch syndrome? For example, does it make people anxious?
Once again, very little research has been done on the psychosocial impacts of living with Lynch syndrome diagnosis. We have done some of that research ourselves, and overwhelmingly, people who responded to our survey, and that was 467 people worldwide responded to our survey a few years ago, and overwhelmingly, they made it clear that there is very little downside to knowing. Yes, there are what they call scamsiety before your
yes.
annual screening. Yes, there are concerns about the gift, unexpected and wanted gift you may have given to your children. Yes, there are concerns about ongoing cost of healthcare screening and the lack of coordination of care and the lack of understanding there is within the healthcare system. But despite all of that, overwhelmingly people come out and say knowing is far more empowering and helpful to us as individuals than not knowing. Knowledge is a strange concept, because you'll probably find that most people with Lynch syndrome sort of knew before any diagnosis that there was something amiss in their family. For most people, they've grown up with this sense that, gosh, we were an unlucky family. There's so much cancer family, but haven't had the tools with which to join the dots.
Yes.
Uncle Joe's kidney cancer, your father's bowel cancer, and your cousin's breast cancer don't necessarily form a pattern. Mm. Other hereditary cancer systems have a clearer pattern of cancer prevalence. But because there are up to 12 different cancers and they go across generations, it's often quite hard to pinpoint that. But you nonetheless grow up with a feeling, and our research has proven that, that generally people kind of know already there's something there. So often a diagnosis is a confirmation, and in many cases is a relief to know. Because
yes.
otherwise, in the 60s and 70s, environmental harms were blamed for cancer patterns in families, and diet and lifestyle, etc., were solely blamed for these cancer patterns. So for most people, finding out isn't such a shock, isn't such a revelation. It's important to know your mutation, because individual mutations have very different risk patterns and much higher risks in some cases. It's also about understanding that you need to get annual surveillance, because
yes.
that annual surveillance picked up the cancer which actually killed my father, fecal cancer in the colon. So for all of these reasons, and even understanding that immunotherapies are highly effective on our kinds of tumours,
mm.
all of those things are important that people with Lynch syndrome actually know. One of the biggest problems we have is the lack of knowledge within the healthcare system itself. I regularly speak to oncology nurses and staff who've never really heard of the condition at all.
Right.
People working in oncology are struggling. Then how is your average GP or your average specialist in other areas going to really be aware of the risks, which is why this research from Karen and her team would really help put us on the map. I mean, it does open up a Pandora's box, because there's currently no coordination of care, no consensus of best surveillance or options. There is limited support and access to genetic counselling, and we wouldn't suggest that anybody gets a diagnosis without the attendant genetic counselling. This research, if it's implemented, will open up a whole load of cracks in the healthcare system where the support is not there. But that's not a reason to do it. That is the reason to do it, because that means that the healthcare system will have to play catch-up and provide the services and support for these people who are going to then be referred for genetic testing, then need to access far better services and support than they have at the moment.
I've been chatting today with Susan Morris, the CEO of Lynch Syndrome Australia. LSA's website is lynchsyndrome.org.au. There you will find resources for both patients and clinicians. Joining us now is Professor Karen Canfield from the University of Sydney, who is Director of the Research Division at Cancer Council New South Wales. Karen, welcome to the podcast. What prompted you to do a cost analysis of testing strategies for Lynch syndrome? Was there a strategy you want to see go forward?
Yes, absolutely. What we saw was that there was a gap in terms of having a systematic approach to early detection of Lynch syndrome. Mm-hmm. And we noted that there'd been a really influential analysis done in the UK, which basically shows the cost effectiveness of a systematic approach to testing in that strategy. And we were keen to provide that further evidence to support this being done in Australia, because although testing is done in some circumstances, it's just not done systematically and consistently. And so therefore we felt there was a high possibility that many people with Lynch syndrome that could be effectively identified and offered management were not being identified. Our motivation, I suppose, was really to underpin the health economic evaluation piece and provide that extra evidence before testing.
You tested 8 strategies. What turned out to be the most cost-effective, and is it cost-effective in a practical way now?
Yes, I think that's the really great finding, and that's why we're really excited about these results. We did do a really comprehensive approach to the analysis, because there are a number of different ways and methods of testing, genealogies, and also different approaches, whether to actually do a triage test after the main test to exclude the possibility of a somatic mutation. But there are different ways of doing it and different available tests, and we wanted to look at all of them. But the bottom line was that for the large majority of available methods that are currently used in Australia, their cost effectiveness was quite similar. So we really concluded that this is looking feasible, essentially using a range of commonly used methods. And the cost effectiveness that we calculated was around about $30,000 per life year saved for the commonly used methods. And that's very much in line with Australia's indicative willingness to pay threshold, so that really supports the cost effectiveness of testing.
Let's talk about genetic testing. You found that it wasn't cost effective yet. Where do you think that's going to fall in the future in terms of people with Lynch syndrome?
The key point to appreciate in all of the strategies that we looked at is that ultimately, of course, genetic testing is involved. It's just what is the sequence of testing that gets you to the point of offering genetic testing and then offering genetic testing to relatives. So we're always looking at offering that targeted genetic testing to relatives. It's about the most efficient way before that of testing all bowel cancer tumours. So, yes, we did find at this point in time that the commonly used methods, particularly immunohistochemistry as the first test, stacked up very well as really a way to identify those people most at risk of having Lynch syndrome that can then have the genetic testing. And doing the direct genetic testing, universal gene panel, germline testing on every colorectal cancer case wouldn't yet be cost effective just because of the expense of the technology. But certainly, as we well know, that technology is rapidly becoming more available and more cost effective. And so we feel that it's probably worth reassessing that in the future.
Susan blew my mind by saying that 1 in 280 Australians likely have Lynch syndrome. Why has this not hit the headlines before?
Yeah, Look, I think Susan's done so much to raise awareness of this condition. It's just not well understood or well appreciated. And certainly, look, bowel cancer is one of our most common cancers and one of our most common causes of cancer death. And, you know, a reasonably high proportion, to about 3%, are actually underpinned by Lynch syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that people do have good awareness of that. And I think it's, you know, one of the things that we hope that will happen out of this is that there's not only a national policy and more consistent national practice, but that ultimately there'll be an increase as a result of all of this in the level of awareness in the population of the importance of understanding whether or not you have Lynch syndrome and offering testing to relatives.
Susan, what would you like to see? If you had a magic wand, for example, what would you like to do right now?
I have a very long shopping list, but particularly if the recommendations from this research could be applied as soon as possible, I think then what the whole system will need to reflect on the fact that there is no coordination of surveillance and care support for people who are diagnosed. And if we're now going to take that number from 5,000 to potentially 50, 60, 70,000, the fact there's no national register, no coordinated care, and poor access to genetic services, often outside the metropolitan area. All of these things, I think, need to be looked at as a whole, because step one, and we're so grateful for the Cancer Council for conducting this research to really make an economic case for testing and discovering so many of those 95% of people with Lynch syndrome that have not been diagnosed. It's really important then that once diagnosed, they're not left hanging, that they then are embraced within the health system, cared for, and as many cancers as possible are either prevented or detected early.
So, Karen, what do we do now to get that happening?
Well, look, I think that we certainly hope that these results will be ultimately translated into policy in various different ways. There are important national clinical management guidelines for colorectal cancer that were released in 2016. And those guidelines had already encouraged the systematic use of testing bowel cancer tumours or Lynch syndrome. But I think that this new evidence, again, reinforces that and makes the economic case for it. So, you know, I hope that going forward there'll be a case for strengthening those recommendations and those national guidelines.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you so much for your time and your interest.
Thanks a lot, ladies. My thanks to my special guests today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.